Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the second year in a row.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
Congratulations, Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thank you very much for hanging around with me. I'm excited, folks, about having John O'Donohue back on the show with us. He was with us a while back. I've forgotten exactly what it seemed like. Maybe perhaps it was Thanksgiving. But anyway, he's an old friend. He's in Ireland. He's our favorite Irishman, and he's our favorite philosopher and poet. He's the author of the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful book, Anam Cara. He's the author of the brand new book, Beauty, The Invisible Embrace. He's our good friend, John O'Donohue. Welcome back. Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Jim. It's lovely to be back with you.
It's good to have you back, as always. Thank you for sharing another Christmas show with us. John, take a moment and tell us what Ireland looks like at Christmas time.
Well, Christmas time is a very special time in Ireland. I mean, I often think that in America, the Thanksgiving is probably the primary feast, and then Christmas comes in second. But in Ireland, we have no Thanksgiving in that sense, so Christmas really is the full focus of celebration. People come home from everywhere for Christmas. Like yesterday, we had the largest traffic, over 100,000, through the airports, and all the roads into the main cities were blocked with people shopping and coming home. And in every house, there'll be Christmas tree and Christmas lights and candles, and the candle on the windows, an old Irish tradition, which is really lovely. And I remember my father, the Lord to mercy him, when we were children, he used to go out to the garden and he'd bring in maybe 10 or 12 or 14 turnips and cut them in half and then make a little hole at the center of each turnip and put a candle in it. And then he'd light the Christmas candle and say a prayer for the family. And then he'd light all the candles, and then we'd all go out into the field and look at the house with all the lights on the windows. And he said it always resembled a ship. So there's great celebration, and people are in great form, and there's lovely spirit in the air, and there'll be nice kind of liturgical celebrations and a good bit of old prayer stuff going on. And then there'll be lots of nice food and the old fire water and the odd Guinness and devilment and celebration. So
and of course,
kind of a nice time. I mean, you'd have to work hard, like really, at being successfully depressed over Christmas.
What about a tree? Do you put up a tree?
Yeah, we always put up a tree here. My brother usually cuts it, a holly tree out in the wood, and then to be trimmed and goes up. My mother puts it up and then decorates it. So it's really, really nice.
How is your mother?
She's in great form, actually. She's all ready for full blast at Christmas.
I got to talk to her the other day. I was so happy about that, again, to talk to her again. Give her our best and our best and our love.
She had a great chat with you.
Tell her Merry Christmas. John, in your new book, I know you did this once before a little bit, I think, but my favorite part of the new book, Beauty, is the part about reverence. I just want to read a couple of things here, and I get you to talk about it. Put simply, it is appropriate that a human being should dwell on this earth with reverence. Ultimately, reverence is respect before mystery. I'm going to read that again. Ultimately, reverence is respect before mystery.
I think that's the heart of the matter. I mean, I think beauty is the most wonderful mystery, and it's something that no life can survive without. I mean, when you hear a book on beauty, you say, well, that's for those who are artists or for those who are into luxury or elite kind of lifestyle. But that's not true. Everybody needs a sense of beauty, and a life that had no experience of beauty would be unbearable. I often think that those on the severest frontiers of human pain and suffering, and those amazing, unsensational, unostentatious individuals who keep the humane tissue of life going in prisons, hospitals, refugee camps, war zones, are people for whom the smallest little moment of beauty could become a wonderful thing. A friend of mine in America, who's a great friend of another friend of mine here, is Daniel Berrigan, the American pacifist and Jesuit, and he went to jail one time for a good while because Thanos had disarmed a nuclear warhead. And I remember one of his poems from that time was called Tulips in the Prison Yard. And they were in this prison yard in some prison in New York, and all the khaki march of the underworld of prisoners. And then Dan just noticed this little tulip in the corner of the yard, and it, of course, became inflamed with the possibility of beauty. And I think every life needs that. And I think reverence is probably the doorway into beauty, because reverence is respect before mystery. And if you don't live in a world where you have a sense of mystery, then the world gets dead and dull and numb for you. And actually, mystery, the sense of mystery, reverence is respect before mystery, works totally across the ethical sphere as well with human beings. Because if you lose the sense of mystery that a person has, then they become an object for you. And that's at the heart of negativity, destructiveness, and all violence. Because
John,
somebody whose mystery you feel, you can't damage them.
Stand by. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We'll be right back with our good friend John O'Donohue, the author of the new book, Beauty, the Invisible Embrace. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. John O'Donohue is our guest. John, we got a lot of things to do, but no visit with you is complete without the friendship blessing.
And love you always do it.
Oh, I love this one, folks. This is from Anam Cara. I know John's got a new book out, and I encourage you to buy it because it's an outstanding book. But Anam Cara, as far as I'm concerned, Jim, is still the great one. And let me read this one to you, folks. It's called a friendship blessing, and John always lets me read it. May you be blessed with good friends. May you learn to be a good friend to yourself. May you be able to journey to that place in your soul where there is great love, warmth, feeling, and forgiveness. May this change you. May it transfigure that which is negative, distant, or cold in you. May you be brought into the real passion, kinship, and affinity of belonging. May you treasure your friends. May you be good to them, and may you be there for them. May they bring you all the blessings, challenges, truth, and light that you need for your journey. May you never be isolated. May you always be in the gentle nest of belonging with your Anam Cara. John, that's the greatest passage that I've ever read, I should say, that I've ever seen.
Thank you very much.
And I thank you for
the sentiment behind it, the idea behind it is good, you know.
What it is, and I really enjoy that one. John, I've been hearing from people all over the world who wanted to make sure they knew when you were going to be on the show. You've got such a following all over the world. There's one lady, though, in South Africa, in Cape Town, South Africa, that I'm hoping is listening right now. Her name is Beverly. That's all I'm going to say about her name. But her name is Beverly, listening in South Africa, and I know you want to say hello to her.
Hey, Beverly, if you're listening to us in South Africa, I wish you a lovely Christmas and a really wonderful New Year. And I believe you're in Cape Town. And yeah. I was in Cape Town one time, out in Robben Island and up on the Table Mountain. And then I traveled up north to the Cedarburg Mountain. So it's a most beautiful place. And one of my good friends here in Ireland is actually the South African ambassador, Melanie Vervoed, who's really lovely. I've just done a piece for her, actually, for a new South African embassy diary that she has on the whole thing, on the South African thing. So it's great that you're listening, and I wish you many blessings, and maybe we'll meet in Cape Town sometime.
Thanks, John. Thanks, Beverly, for listening. And if you're listening anywhere else in the world and you like John O'Donohue, you can send me an email, and I'll be sure that he gets it. John, I know you've got a new website.
You know, I never thought I'd say that, because coming from where I come from in the west of Ireland, websites are kind of like exotic things that fall off a newly discovered technological planet.
But I finally badgered you into getting one.
I know. You did, is right. I've got a new website, and it's www.yourbeautyinvisible.com. jodonohue.com, jodonohue.com, and people will find out all the information there and how to contact me. And as well, every year in May, I run a tour to Ireland for the first 10 days of May, and we're based in lovely thatched cottages on Galway Bay. We do each day talk and discussion, and then afternoon in the landscape, and then in the evening, music and devilment. So maybe we could tempt some people towards us in that way, too.
Jim, how do we, I mean, John, I have John, Jim Ballard on my mind. John, how do we use reverence to get to beauty?
Well, I think that once, it's like anything else. I mean, I always feel that the imagination and awareness are at the heart of discovery. And I mean, you could have, I think everybody has in their heart, I mean, I love Meister Eckhart's statement on this, that there's a place in the soul that neither time nor space nor no created thing can touch. So that means that everybody has within them a special space that nobody has ever been able to damage or compromise or sever, and that there is within each of us a well of tranquility and courage and beauty. And now, if you don't know that well is there, you'll never get there. Like, so the first thing is to realize that it actually is there. I mean, you could be the most wonderful concert pianist that the world has ever known, but if you don't ever come in touch with the piano, you'll never find it. So, I mean, the first thing I think is to realize that it's there, and then to take time for yourself. And I always say, you can read all the books, you can go to all the gurus and all the rest of it, but at the end of the day, you will never discover the riches of yourself if you don't have silence, a space for silence in your life, a space for stillness in your life, and a space for solitude, because there are key things. The most important inner things can only happen to you if you have silence, stillness, and solitude. And then you will find everything you need to know. I mean, in the time of the Desert Fathers in the early centuries, a young monk came to an old monk and he wanted guidance. And the old monk listened to him for a long time and he said, "Return, my son, to your cell, and it will teach you everything you need to know."
John, in chapter 8 of Beauty, there's this passage, and folks, I want to read it to you. "The heart of all creativity is the awakening and flowering of individuality. The mystery and magic of being an individual is to live life in response to the deep call within, the call to become who we were dreamed to be. In primal terms, it is the call to discover and realize the divine blueprint in the soul. This is where true freedom awaits us." Thanks, John, for that.
Lovely. I think the dream that sent us here to the earth is the dream of becoming who we were called to be. And I think none of us is here accidentally. I've always thought that to be born is to be chosen. And there's a secret destiny for each of us and a providence that minds that destiny. And I think that once you awaken to what your calling is, then your fears begin to fall away and then you become who you're meant to be. And there's no one happier than the person who is themselves or the person who's living their calling.
John, hold on to that thought. We're going to take a quick break, folks. When we come back, we're going to have another blessing, and we're going to have some last words from John. His new book is called Beauty, The Invisible Embrace. Don't forget to check out his website, Jay O'Donohue, or as he says, jodonohue.com. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and John O'Donohue is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. This new book of his, Beauty, The Invisible Embrace. Folks, I don't know if you, when you see this title and when you read the subtitle, if it sounds intimidating to you or not, but it shouldn't. Because once you get into it, the more I get into your book, John, the new book, the more it opens up to me. Mm-hmm. And I want to thank you for that. And one of the things it's just a classic John O'Donohue book. Only
well, it's written in a very lyrical way with stories and images and narrative. And then underneath that, there's a whole kind of thinking thing going on that you can really get into it. And I know a couple of people now have told me they've read it about 4 times and had a new journey each time. So it's great.
Yeah. I want to read a little passage from chapter 4, John, on the color of beauty. Mm-hmm. "Color is the language of light. It adorns the earth with beauty. Through color, light brings its passion, kindness, and imagination to all things. Pink to granite, green to leaves, blue to ocean, yellow to dawn. Talk to us about color.
Well, I think color is one of the most amazing things in the world. I mean, a world without color would be just an awful place to be. I mean, in Christian terms, we often think of limbo, the old teaching of limbo, which never existed, of course, but we think of limbo as a place of total consistent grayness. But color is amazingly energetic. And different colors have, there's a whole physics of color that I describe in a very short passage in the book, but there's the amazing thing about the life and the force of color. For instance, red is always a color of kind of from the edge of life. The blood is red. Then everywhere there is passion, there is red. And it just brings up a light like Christmas. One of the lovely colors of Christmas is red. And it brings up passion. It brings up a whole life force. And it brings up real energy. Where there's red, there's energy. And then where there's green, there is kind of the sense of springtime, the sense of growth, the sense of nature. And it's very interesting that red and green are the primary colors of Christmas. So you have the passion and the growth in the middle of the winter season. Then a color I love is blue, because I think that night and day meet within blue. And that blue always on me has such a lovely calming effect. And in my home, my little cottage in Connemara, I have several blue paintings. And when I look at them, my whole kind of mind just calms down. It's the color of the ocean, of course, and the color of the horizon. Then a color that I always have great affection for is yellow, because yellow to me has such satisfaction in it. And always in springtime, when I see the flowers appearing in that and the yellow returning to the earth after the kind of bleakness of winter, there's such a homecoming in it. It's the color of the sun, of course, and it lightens and calms the heart. In my house in Connemara now, I have several of the rooms, and not several of the rooms, as if there's a load of rooms there, but I have two of my rooms in this lovely, kind shade of yellow. And then at evening when I light the lamp, the yellow is such a calming thing in the old mind. I also love the color black. I think black is a great color. And black and white photography is just amazing. Fergus Burke, who's a great friend of mine who died during the year, has these amazing black and white photographs of Connemara that are just absolutely unbelievable. And the more you look into them, the more you see. Kevin Brubisky, the American photographer, is a great friend of mine too. And he has amazing black and white photographs. So black and white are just, they're full of hidden depth and secret color, of course.
John, folks, I have a wonderful library of John O'Donohue's books, starting with Anamkara. The next one is Eternal Echoes. The next one is this book of poetry, Connemara Blues, and then now Beauty. And I'll tell you, folks, you're going to want all of them. But I just encourage you to go pick up something that John has written. And of course, Beauty is out now. Is Anamkara still available?
Anamkara is still available as a paperback,
God.
But Barbara, on my website, Barbara has hardback copies that are still available.
Okay,
too.
Good.
And I mean, we have loads of the hardback of Eternal Echoes, which is about longing and belonging.
When you buy the paperback of Anamkara, you're going to want to turn around and order the hardback, because you don't want to miss it. John, quickly give us recite Bonnock for us.
Okay, this is a poem of blessing, and I'd like to recite this for all our listeners, wishing them a happy and peaceful and lovely, lovely, deep Christmas. And may
quickly, John, we're almost out of time.
On the day when the weight deadens on your shoulders and you stumble, may the clay dance to balance you. And when your eyes freeze behind the grey window, may the ghost and the ghost of loss gets into you. May a flock of colours, indigo, red, green and azure blue, come to awaken in you a meadow of delight. When the canvas frays and the curragh of thought and a stain of ocean blackens beneath you, may there come across the waters a path of yellow moonlight to bring you safely home. May the nourishment of the earth be yours. May the clarity of light be yours. May the fluency of the ocean be yours. May the protection of the ancestors be yours. And so may a slow wind work these words of love around you, an invisible cloak to mind your life.
John, we have to go. Thank you for being here. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. God bless you, Jim. Happy
we'll
New
see
Year
to you. You too, sir.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.